All right, well, that is the music that introduces us to the Psalms. And today we're going to take a look at Psalm 69. Since today's topic is the meaning of suffering, you know, we talk about uniting our sufferings to the sufferings of Christ, especially in an intense way this week. This is the week we celebrate in a very special way, the Paschal Mystery. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. All right, so Psalm 69 is long, so we're not going to get through all of it today. We're going to see if we can get through the first 13 verses. So Psalm 69 is in Book 2. Those are Psalms 42 to 72. And within Book 2, David wrote Psalms 51 through 72. So 69 is in there, so this is a psalm written by David. The prescript is the entire first verse of the psalm, and it just says simply, "For the choir master, intoned like lilies of David." All right, so David again wrote this song, gave it to the choir master, the Levites and the musical guild of the Jewish temple, and he wanted it to sound like another tune called Lilies, right? So it starts in verse 2. "Save me, O God, for the waters have risen to my neck. I have sunk into the mud of the deep where there is no foothold. I have entered the waters of the deep where the floods overwhelm me." Wow. Isn't that powerful? When you're going through something really difficult, when you're in the midst of suffering, this is what it feels like. And David is expressing this so beautifully. The imagery is so powerful, like drowning. "Save me. The waters have risen to my neck. I've sunk into the mud of the deep. There's no foothold. There's nothing for me to grasp onto." Like when you're swimming and there's nothing firm to hold on to, and you're overwhelmed, or you're in the mud and you're sinking, there's nothing to grab onto. When you're suffering like that, there feels like there's no stability, right? There feels like there's no rock, no anchor when we're going through something really hard. And by the way, this psalm is usually prayed on Friday. I forget, it's either week 3 or week 4 in Matins or the Office of Readings. It's a beautiful psalm here. The floods of the flood overwhelms me. Verse 4, "I am wearied with crying aloud. My throat is parched." He's like crying out for help, crying for assistance, crying out in pain. And it's so much so, he said that his throat is parched, his throat is dry. "My eyes are wasted away with waiting for my God." See, in the midst of all of this, David understands, I'm crying my eyes out. My throat is parched with screaming, with tears, with crying. Why? He's waiting for God. Verse 5, "More numerous than the hairs on my head are those who hate me without cause. Many are those who attack me, enemies with lies. What I have never stolen, how can I restore?" So now David gets into it. So why is he suffering? Why is he feeling overwhelmed? There are people that hate him. There are people that are attacking. There are people that are pursuing him. And they're enemies, he said, with lies, right? They've lied about me. They're pursuing me unjustly, right? And again, what I've never stolen, how can I restore? Right? What did I do wrong? Or how about this? When we're suffering, what did I do to deserve this? Oh, come on. We've all been there. You know, where we're going through something, and I pray the rosary every day. You know, I go to mass. I haven't missed mass, forever. You know, volunteer, I say, visit the Paul in my parish. I'm doing all this stuff. Why am I suffering like this? You know, what have I done? Right? And David expresses, what I've never stolen, how can I restore? Right? So it expresses some of that frustration that we often feel when in the midst of our suffering. And he continues in verse 6, "Oh God, you know my folly. From you, my sins are not hidden." See, God, you know my heart. You know, as I'm thinking all this, I'm going through this, you know where my heart is. You know that this is not something that, like Job, right? I didn't do anything wrong to deserve this. And because you know my heart, Lord. May those who hope in you not be shamed because of me, O Lord of hosts. Right? So those who hope in you, let them not be shamed because of me. Let not my weaknesses and my sins drag other people down so that they no longer hold you in the highest esteem. Just because maybe I'm a poor example, don't let that affect the faith of others. May those who seek you not be put to shame because of me, O God of Israel. So David recognizes, and we have to do the same thing. We recognize our weaknesses. We recognize our shortcomings. And as often as we sometimes try to hide those from others, and quite frankly, even from ourselves, you know, we want to make sure that our weaknesses don't have negative effects in the lives of others. And we're not causing other people to sin. We're not causing other people to lose faith or to lose hope. And, you know, that's what happened, like, during the abuse scandals and some other things that happened at church. That's sometimes how people feel. So David's saying, because of what I'm going through now, don't let someone look at me and lose hope and faith in you, O Lord.
This reminds me of a prayer that I heard, and I can't remember the prayer itself, but the basic gist was, Lord, don't let me be blinded and don't let me get in the way. And I feel like this passage, especially if you read it with the intensity of like a Shakespearean sonnet, you realize we've all been sick and tired of being sick and tired, but we've also disqualified ourselves by saying, well, I'm not worthy. But then once you realize, you're like, okay, well, Lord, just don't let me let anyone else stumble. Like, I've got my own habits and hangups, but I don't want to get in someone else's way. But I think especially coming into Holy Week, what a powerful prayer to ask God to not make us blinded, to remove those veils, and to not get in the way of what he's doing.
Exactly, which is why, that's an excellent point, Ace, which is exactly why I started off this week with confession, as well as those many, many other people that were in line today.
Yeah.
Over at Holy Rosary. So, yeah, no, exactly right. I mean, because, you know, you want to get to a place that, you know, you recognize and acknowledge your sinfulness, and the more you are open to God's grace,
yep,
the less likely you will be a hindrance to someone else.
Amen.
You know? So, yeah, it's beautiful. And he continues in verse 8. It is for you that I suffer taunts, that shame has covered my face. Again, think of this now. Jesus making his way to the cross, right? Buffets and spitting, right? A little throwback to Psalm 22. You know, buffets and spitting. And so, thus, some of us, we have to suffer with taunts. I know I've been mocked because of my faith and not watering down the Catholic faith at all, you know, or trying to, bring my quote unquote brand of Catholicism that's not faithful to the magisterium and the teachings of the church, you know, because I don't do that, because I stand strong and firm with the teachings of the church. You get ridiculed. It's those who are working in the pro-life industry are, oh my goodness, mocked and ridiculed constantly because they're not embarrassed or ashamed to stand up for a culture of life, to recognize the dignity of all human life from the moment of conception until natural death. Beautiful. Verse 9, to my own kin, I have become an outcast, a stranger to the children of my mother. Oh, boy, here we go. This verse here reminds me of when Jesus says, you think I've come to bring peace? I've come to bring the sword. Father against son, mother against daughter, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. Why? Even the truth divides even families. And we've all have family members. We all have people that we love. And in this case, he's talking about siblings. But even parents, people that we're close to that are estranged from us because we stand up for the faith in the Catholic Church, because we're not woke, because we don't want to capitulate to the whims of the culture and be popular and just think like everybody else instead of thinking with the heart and mind of the church, that, you know, we become estranged even from our own family members. That's painful. We have a child that's, you know, maybe going suffering from transgender or a same-sex attracted, and they're in relationships that are that are inappropriate to the life of the immoral to the life of the church, and we love them unconditionally, completely, with all our that love does not go away, but we cannot approve their lifestyle choice decision, and because of that, they estrange themselves from us. That's painful. That is painful. That is suffering. Right, so that's what this week is about. Jesus taking the burden of all that suffering upon himself as the Agnus Dei qui tollit peccata mundi, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Why? Number 17, blood makes atonement by reason of the life. So in Leviticus 17, I've shed the blood upon the altar of the cross. Right? I've shed it. Why? Because blood makes atonement by reason of the life. So Jesus shed his life blood on the cross for us for the forgiveness of sins. And here's a famous verse, Psalm 69, verse 10. Zeal for your house consumes me, and taunts against you fall on me. Zeal for your house consumes me. Now you said, wait a minute, that sounds familiar. Remember that when Jesus was overturning the tables in the temple, this is what they were thinking. As he was doing it, it's recorded in the Gospels. He says, they've been thinking, zeal for your house consumes me. That's from this verse right here, Psalm 69, 10. And taunts against you fall on me. See, when they mocking the Lord, the taunts against God are falling on us. Because really, when they mock us for standing up for our faith, they're really mocking God.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.